So we're in Brighton. We're in a legendary bar called the Colonnade Bar, which is next to the Theatre Royal. And I'm standing next to, I'm going to call him a polymath, because he does several things. Well, not only does he run Guildford Fringe, that we're going to talk about in a minute, but he's playing several understudy parts, aren't you? Tell us about that first, and who you are.
My name's Nick Wishner. I'm the director of Guildford Fringe Festival, but with my other hat, as you said, that long word, I didn't understand what you were talking about.
Polymath, I don't know, I think it means you do a lot.
You're far too clever for me already, so that's fine. I'm an actor as well, so I haven't acted for 10 years while setting up the company. We run a theatre company, a festival, comedy clubs, a small PR agency. So while I've been setting that up, I kind of stopped acting. But last year I decided to kind of give it another go, and I went to a couple of auditions, and I was fortunate enough to be offered an understudy part in The Mousetrap by Agatha Christie. So, yeah, as you said, I'm on tour with The Mousetrap at the moment, which is a bit weird.
Slap bang in the middle of Guildford Fringe.
This is the only bad month. The rest of the year is just wonderful. I need a job to pay for the Fringe, if I'm honest with you, so it's nice.
So let's just unravel this particular Fringe. So if you Google Guildford Fringe, you get two very different websites, don't you?
Yeah, so Guildford Fringe is made up of four things, actually. Guildford Fringe is made up of the theatre company, which is where it started. So we produce a play, a musical, an adult panto, and several burlesque cabarets throughout the year. That's where we started, and then from that we realised...
You just said that so offhand. You know, some people spend a year just doing one thing.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know.
Polymath, see?
Yeah, Christ, stop saying that word. So then we did that in 2012, and from setting up the theatre company, and we did shows in backs of pubs and things like that, loads of other people came out of the woodwork in Guildford saying, oh, can we put a show on with you? And I was kind of like, well, you can't, because a lot of them were amateur theatre companies, and it was a professional theatre company that I was running, so we couldn't really cross that line. So I was thinking, how can we make this work, like involve more people? And that's how the Fringe Festival happened. So Guildford Fringe Festival formed from people asking to be involved. So that happened, and then we've also got under the umbrella, we've got Guildford Fringe Performing Arts, so we teach kids musical theatre workshops. Charlotte teaches at a school in Effingham.
Charlotte is
our general manager, and my better half, she's my girlfriend. So she runs a stage school for us, and we've also got Guildford Fringe events, so we organise weddings and events, and that's our kind of money earner, so it pays for all the cool fringy stuff that we want to produce. So they're the four arms of Guildford Fringe, and from that we started doing comedy clubs, and they went so well and were so popular, we're now taking comedy clubs kind of, we've got eight different cities across the south of England, so Dartford, Hastings, and all over the place, and that's Gaghouse Comedy Clubs, nothing to do with Guildford Fringe.
So Guildford Fringe, in terms of the company, was really the meaning of that word. So as we sit here in the Theatre Royal, and that's nothing against this place, but this is kind of mainstream venue, whereas Fringe Theatre is on the fringe of that somehow, isn't it? It's different type of work to what would go on here. And then Fringe Festival, if you go back to the original Edinburgh legend, was the idea that not enough people come to see theatre in our city, one of the reasons being it's a bit too mainstream and often a bit too expensive. So you've created something, it's quite a young fringe, that is attempting to get the town engaged in theatre. You know, in a big dose of it, called a Fringe Festival.
Oh, definitely. What one of the things that really annoys me about theatre, and I love everything about theatre, but one of the things that's a bit of a bugbear is the cost. Like, to, whether you're an actor and you're getting paid kind of like not a lot of money, to be honest, to tour the country, or if you're an audience member, you want to see some art. Talk about pantomime. Some of the pantos, the big pantos, are like £35 a ticket. Now, I know my mum couldn't have afforded to take me and my brother and sister to see those kind of shows. So it really kind of made me think, how can we produce good quality professional theatre for, in the Fringe Festival, our average ticket price is £8. So that kind of thing. So it makes it accessible to everybody, because that's what the arts should be, because it's such a wonderful thing, and it should be something that everyone can enjoy. And if the only boundary is money, that's a horrible state of affairs.
But one thing that Fringe Festivals have come under fire for is that, going back to that original mission that smaller fringes have got, as they've grown, they've ended up looking quite like the thing they were there to be a reaction against.
It does, yeah. And I think there's got to be a bit of understanding there, because we're not a charity. I know fringes like Brighton, Edinburgh are set up as a charity. We're not. It's just a personal thing of mine that doesn't sit morally with me. But so we're set up as a limited company. We pay our VAT and our tax and all that kind of stuff, which comes with challenges. So what people need to remember is that these are commercial things. Whether it's a charity or not, it still needs to make money. So I understand when fringes bring bigger acts in. We do ourselves. We had Hal Crossington open the Fringe last week, and
he's a big comedian, isn't he?
He's a great comedian. Like, we've had Joe Lycett, we've had Paul Sinner, so we've had big names. But And we've got the Barraquet Boys closing the Fringe this year, who are a wonderful musical theatre cabaret group. Big names again, West End stars.
But what are they doing? Are they making the Fringe a bit more viable and raising the profile and obviously bringing in bums on seats? And you use that money not to go on holiday somewhere, but to fund what you do, is that right?
Yeah, I wish we were going on holiday. But no, we use those bigger shows because people come and see names, and that is the bottom line. People like to see a famous person. So you get them in. We had, for our opening show, we had 600 people watching Hal Cruttington. All those 600 people left with a Guildford Fringe Festival brochure. They were all, some of them didn't know about us, so it's all new audience. So you use the big names, and it's not what Fringe is about, but you use those big names to bring new people in and then upsell them to the smaller names, okay, the up-and-coming.
So let's be clear, the big names are a means to the Fringe you want to do rather than the goal itself.
Oh, absolutely. They're not the goal. Completely not the goal. The goal is to find people that want to put on art but maybe couldn't afford to do it in big theatres like the Theatre Royal here or even Arno Theatre in Guildford. They're expensive spaces and they've got a big building to run, but it shouldn't be a reason why people can't produce new work. That's the goal, to find new work, help them grow grassroots stuff and make it affordable for them.
Yeah, and I'm not being an advert for you, but if you're sick of spending loads of money getting into London, spending loads of money there, and you haven't got that much, I mean, Guildford is an easy train journey, isn't it?
Oh, Guildford is 35 minutes from Waterloo. So we actually find that as a bit of a boundary. Like people ask that we've asked to come down or have applied, they've gone, the only thing is you're in Guildford, a bit far away from London. We've explained we're 35 minutes away. They go, oh my word, we didn't even know that. It's one direct train from Waterloo to Guildford. It's so easy. We get people from London that live in London come to Guildford to watch our shows just for a bit of refreshment, because London can drag you down, and Guildford is green and beautiful high street and nice pubs, independent places. So people come from London to see Guildford Fringe.
And I guess what you want too is you don't want that outside, and I don't mean to sound like a nationalist here, but you don't want that work that comes in outside that everyone does want to see, completely overwhelming the homegrown stuff that wants an audience too.
Yeah, you don't want that at all. No, you want you've got to go back to the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh set up because there was a group of people that couldn't afford to do the festival, and that is what a Fringe Festival needs to remember to be, and that's what we are. Our entry fee is very low for the acts to come, which means it's accessible to a company that started last month. It's £70 to enter Guildford Fringe Festival, and we keep everything as cheap as we can, and we do as much work as we can to help market it.
So I guess there's venues, you know, there's genres, as we call it. How does that all arrive and happen?
Well, the venues.
Yeah, I mean, how did they all come together? Because you were obviously a company. And then also, how do you, you know, hopefully breathe a sigh of relief that you've actually got a programme? What has to happen for that to happen?
Well, when we did our first festival in 2013, we did it in one venue. So we used the back room of the Star Inn, because I didn't know if it was wanted in Guildford. So I wanted to try it out. So we did it. I think we did 32 events in one venue. And from that, the venue was full the whole month. So other venues heard about it and they approached us and said, can we get involved? Some of the really exciting venues are the ones that say, we don't normally do events, but we've heard that you kind of bring people in, and we're struggling a bit because times are hard for venues and pubs with all the restrictions they have, and will you give it a go? They're the venues we want, and it's been a very organic process. People have come to us, and we obviously in Guildford we've got the venues that do shows, so they were obviously the first port of call, can you be part of the festival? Because when you use theatres, then you get their marketing list as well. That helps you grow. But the venues we really want are things like, we've got a venue called the Keep Pub, which is opposite the Castle Grounds. It's a tiny independent pub in the heart of Guildford, run by Jane and Brian. You see the owners all the time. They're there behind the bar. They're wonderful people. They've got a pub downstairs which can seat 40 people, and they've got a tiny room upstairs called the Castle Room, and that can seat a maximum 24 people. And that's what Fringe is about, those kind of like really quirky little places that wouldn't normally put them on. So we've got comedy, theatre, poetry and movie nights go to the Keep. Another independent venue called Cop Star on the High Street in Guildford above the Angel Hotel. Paul and his wife bought that only about a year and a half ago. Again, they're finding it hard. It's not easy to get people into your venue, and they've seen that the arts is a way to do that, and they have been incredible, so behind it. You get the big venues that take for granted what you do, and you get the small independent venues that just know that they need it, and they are incredible. Like Paul and Jane and Brian, the independent venue owners in Guildford, are so behind the Fringe Festival because they can see the benefits.
Yeah, so that love of the Fringe itself, does that mean that if I'm, you know, a theatre company, say anywhere in the UK or even beyond, arrive, do a few nights and not leave, you know, having lost my shirt?
Well, we get acts saying, can I do a week's run? And we say no. We want people to do one or two nights maximum. because we want them to fill the venue for that one or two night, rather than do a week and spread the audience. We are, as you said earlier, we're a young fringe festival.
Yeah, but will I walk away possibly with some money in my pocket?
Oh, I hope so, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would say we've got very few acts that lose money at Guildford Fringe. Because we're so proactive about it. I'm an actor, as we spoke about earlier. I don't want actors to lose money. It's the worst thing to happen, and I don't want to be a part of people losing money and not being able to produce more work. Obviously, there's a risk, and the ones that do well at Guildford Fringe Festival are the ones that get involved. The same with any festival. You can't enter a show into the festival and then sit back and hope it's going to be a sellout. You need to give us marketing material and videos and get tweeting and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. And if they get involved, as much as we get involved, they generally do really, really well.
Yeah. We've got a mobile phone going off here. If I went to Guildford for a day or two to do the Fringe, either as a performer or a punter, give me a little tour within a minute or two, just some of the highlights, what it's going to be like walking through that town.
Well, Guildford, for a start, is a beautiful historic town. So as soon as you get out of the train station and come into the town centre, you see a gorgeous town. So we start on a high. If you've not been to Guildford before, you come in and go, oh, this is the kind of place I could live. In terms of the Fringe, I would say check out the small venues, because some really cool stuff happens there. Like, for instance, tomorrow night on Saturday the 6th, we've got a guy called Robert Garnon, who is a poet. He does Edinburgh every year. He doesn't get a massive audience, but his work, I saw the show last year, and those kind of things baffle me, because I don't know how they do it. I'm a performer, so I understand the art form, but when you see, I love seeing things that surprise me and make me think, oh, I wish I could do that. Robert does that, so that's one thing I would definitely go and see, Robert Garnon. As I said, the big shows, we've got at G Live Studio, we've got Aaron Simmons, who's a comic in a wheelchair, and his show's about his experience of being in a wheelchair.
But before you take me through the programme, because I want this to be a bit timeless in a way, so that we could be thinking about this after the Fringe too. Just while we stay on Guildford itself, is it easy to find places to stay? Are there nice parks to walk into? You've suggested there's some history there. It's not a big concrete jungle with loads of charity shops and Poundland, and that's it.
Well, I think we're very fortunate. I mean, as high streets are struggling too, but I think we'll be one of the last with shops closing down. We heard some horrible news last year that Debenhams is closing down next year, so we do get all the negative stuff like that. But when you walk into Guildford, you will be stunned. The beautiful castle grounds are so well kept by the parks team at Guildford Borough Council. Stunning places to have picnics, and the high street's cobbled, although you're not allowed to call them cobbles, you call them sets. I don't get that, but they call them sets. That's just been redone as a £1 million plus project, and the pub 15 or 20 superb pubs right in the town centre, restaurants, independent cafes, and if you want to stay in Guildford, we've got some great hotels, including the Harbour Hotel, which is up the top of town, which Brighton's got a Harbour Hotel as well, same chain. It's stunning
places. So very, very viable for a day, lots to see, lots to do. You've already started to mention some of the shows, so there's comedy, clearly theatre. What else might surprise us in this Fringe?
We're doing some workshops. We've got an art exhibition. It's every art form, burlesque, cabaret. We've got Giles Brandreth's son, Bennett Brandreth, coming down to do his show. We've got West End ladies, Joanna Kirkland, coming to do their show. We've got... you guys have missed it, but next year we'll be back. We've got Opera on the Balcony, which is one of my favourite events of all time.
So you've got music and spoken word and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, spoken word, Robert Garnon and Louise Etheridge are two local poets. It's honestly, it's jam-packed with all sorts. We've got some ladies called the Dirty Carols that do rude songs. It's written by Louise Etheridge, who is a poet, but to popular music, they rewrite the songs, basically, with Guildford Rude, not London Rude.
And if there is one, what's the vision for it over the coming years?
I spoke to Julian, the director of Brian Fringe, about this the other day as well, and he agrees that the way that we want to go is to grow the audience numbers, but keep the festival a similar size. We're never going to be Brighton. Guildford is not the same size. We haven't got enough venues. We haven't got the same kind of feel as Brighton. We're our own entity.
And then it can implode, because you've got, as you say, loads of shows with an average audience of 6, which can happen in some of the bigger ones.
Yeah, our average audience is like 46 for our smaller venues, so I want to keep that. And it's only fair to the acts. We talk about money. I don't want the acts to lose money, so we want to keep growing our audience database further and further afield. Every year we grow, every pound we get in, that goes towards marketing further away from Guildford. So I'd like to keep that our venues are under 15 venues and under 200 events, because it's manageable and everyone gets a good house. The venues do well.
Your favourite player of all time?
I should say The Mousetrap, but I won't. I love John Godber. We produced a couple of John Godber plays. We did Teachers last year. We did Bouncers this year, because they're so fresh in my mind. I also love Two by Jim Cartwright. I like small-handed plays that don't require a massive set. I like to watch them and I like to produce them.
What do you like to eat?
Steak or roast lamb.
What's your favourite book?
The only things I've been reading recently are business books, so it's terribly boring. I haven't had time to read over the last year. Next year, I'll come back to me. I'll come back to you on that one.
What are you going to look and be doing in, say, 30 years from now?
Oh, my heart will always be in Guildford. I lost my dad when he was quite young, so it's quite a big thing in my life that I don't want to be working for the rest of my life. Although it doesn't feel like work because I love what I do, I want to enjoy life. I want to get out there and see the world.
I'm just testing out that new song to be written, I Left My Heart in Guildford. You'd have to sort of play with the rhyme of it and the beats. Finally then, and we're off PR luckily, but what would be your invitation to people that have heard this interview and thought, oh, only 35 minutes from London, what's your invitation for them to come to Guildford Fringe?
Come and try something that you would not normally watch, because there's no risk. The train fare is your biggest risk, because if you go and see something at Guildford Fringe, generally it's about £8. If you don't like it, what's the worst thing that's happened? You've lost your £8. I think people are too guarded with what they go and see. They stick to the mainstream. It shows with The Mousetrap. I mean, The Mousetrap sells out everywhere they go. It's incredible and it's brilliant. I love that, but people go to what they know. So my invitation would be, come to Guildford and try something that you don't know.
Sounds like cheaper than the cinema these days.
Oh my word, cinema, yeah. Christ.
Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.